Welcome to Spiritually Raw. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, and theories surrounding the spirit world. Guests include QAnon experts, investigators, debunkers, and skeptics of the supernatural, unexplained, and flat-out unimaginable. Content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. This show is not intended to replace any medical, financial, or legal advice, and is for entertainment purposes only. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Hey everybody, how are you? This is Jay Matta, and I'm here today to introduce you to Ascended Masters. This is so cool. It's a one-of-a-kind video service directory where you can browse, select, and ascend for the things you're looking for, whether that be courses, products, services, you know, whatever that may be, books. You know, you can actually look and watch a video that's going to describe the products and services that you're looking for. It's very cool. Let me give you an example of how this works. But before I do that, I want to really let you know why we called it Ascended Masters. There's so many awesome people out there that are coming forth. I mean, they are really giving a lot of themselves. They're sacrificing a lot of their lives to really share with us the information that they have been tapped in and tuned in to be able to deliver to us. Yes. So what we've done is we personally feel that they are the embodiment of the ascended masters of our lifetime. They're the new ascended masters. They're the ones that are our ascended masters. They're there to help us in this journey called life. There is nobody that can dispute that things are very different right now. There's nobody that can dispute that, you know, the way we manifest things, whether that be good or bad, it happens so fast. And there's a lot of really amazing spiritual energy. And with the right teachers, with the right programs, with the right direction, you know, we can really harness this regardless of what people think of the outlook in life. We can really harness a lot of these things in our favor right now. Let me show you how the Ascended Masters program works. It's so simple, everybody. Okay, so here you go. This is the homepage right here and featured services. These are some videos that are on here. You can meet the masters. Okay, here's a quick video that describes what it is. Now, here's the categories right here. This is really cool. So you may be looking for a session, a reading, a course, some coaching, products, entertainment, books, conscious business growth. Conscious business growth is a really cool category. And that's for those of you entrepreneurs out there that are looking for resources to help you with your business, whether that be technically, whether that be marketing wise. So there's going to be some great resources right there for you. I do want to go to courses because that's a popular one right now that people are jumping on. But simply click on something like that, courses, right? You're going to see the different course creators that are on here. Okay. We're on here. Maria's on here. Sean's on there. This is a really cool one. Mark Atwood did. Simply all you got to do is click on the video below and watch a very brief video of that person that describes what it is they've created, how it's going to benefit you, what your results that they think is going to be like, and where you can go ahead and get it, right? So it's really awesome. We've cut down all the stuff for you. So if you're ready in that place in your life and you say, hey, I need something, I need to be able to have a breakthrough in my life, I need someone to handhold me, then click on one of these videos there. This takes so much of that research out of the way for you. It's incredible. So within 5 to 7 minutes, you're gonna click on a video and you're gonna find out if that video is for you. Okay, you're going to find out if you connect with that person. You're going to find out, does this person fit into my plans? Am I part of their soul tribe? Are they going to help me in my journey called life? And you'll know that very quickly by visiting ascendedmasters.store. So enjoy the site, everybody. It's super cool. There's going to be a lot more videos that we're going to be adding on. You're literally going to see them happen daily. Okay, so ascendedmasters.store. Enjoy it. Please share it. Thank you very much. And also, too, if you would like to become an Ascended Master, a part of the program here, and have your products or services listed, just simply click on the link below, or you can email us in the description below for more information. Much love. Thank you very much. And we will see you all next time. Hello, everybody. How are you? And welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you, as always, for your energy exchange with us today. And as always, we hope you woke to the most miracle morning and are also having the most fortunate day today. Yes. That is Sharon Lynn Wyatt. Yes, that's exactly what you're looking for. You remember her from before, the name lady. Yeah, this is really cool. If you haven't actually seen what she's about to talk about,
it's so cool.
You haven't, listen, let me tell you, there's just nothing else out there like this, but it really does make sense. And you're going to find out because she's going to do a much better job than I can.
Well, it makes sense because there's science behind it.
There is science behind it. So I guess the best way for me to put it there is an astrologer would work with the stars to give you insight. A palmist would work with your palm to give you insight.
Sharon works with your name to give you insight about what your destiny, what your journey is looking like, and why you even came here. So again, she'll elaborate more on that in just a minute. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us, as you always do. You know, our links are in the description below for you to stay connected with us, such as our Telegram when we get great guests like Sharon on. And also, too, remember, you'll be able to watch this episode and all of our others in their entirety at spirituallyraw.live. What am I missing? Anything else?
Yes. I know everyone, thank you. Just watch the Ascended Masters commercial. Make sure to check out Sharon at the Ascended Masters store. All of her links will be in the description below. And if you can just take a quick second and please hit the like button from wherever you're watching, then like, subscribe, and we would greatly appreciate it if you share the show.
Sound good?
Thank you so much. Yes.
So about our guest, yes.
Yeah, you guys are going to love, this is so much fun. Okay, so.
It really is very cool, everybody.
Yes. Let me put my glass on. Sharon Lynn Wyeth. She is also AKA the Name Lady. She's dedicated, and I mean literally, I'm not even exaggerating. When I say dedicated, she has dedicated her life to this mission, to exploring various spiritual pathways, and she also developed nemology science, the revolutionary study of how names and placements of letters actually affect who we are and affects our future. She's the author of the Amazon best-selling book, Know Thy Name, Know Thy Person, How a Name Can Predict Thoughts, Feelings, and Actions. Actually, she's a 5-time author too. So make sure to check her out. Her website will also be listed below, and all of the books are located at the Ascended Masters store.
All right, enjoy this, everybody. Hey, Sharon, welcome. How are you? It's good to have you back.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to join both of you. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, it's always good. So this is again, there's some definite topics we wanted to get with you, you know, from last time too, but for those just tuning in for the first time, getting to know you, can you just give us a backstory about the names, like your connection with how names, you use names to help people determine, you know, what's good for them, the people they should stay away from. Can you give us some backstory about how you connected with that as part of your quote unquote faith, science, spirituality?
Okay, so in my 7th year of teaching, when I was 26, I was sitting down to do the seating charts, and my brain started saying, don't put Joshua next to Julie, because together they're going to be clowns, but separated they'll be okay. Stephanie's going to be stubborn, put her over on the side so you don't have to change your seat very often. Derek's going to need extra help, put him up close. And by the time I started the 4th class, it suddenly dawned on me, and I went, this is how I think once I know the kids, but all I have is the list of names. And so I went back and wrote down what I was seeing for every child, and all I had was their name. And then I put it away until winter break. And when I looked at it after getting to know the kids, I was really amazed at the accuracy. So I said, okay, my brain has picked up some kind of patterning, you know, and how do I make what's unconscious conscious? Now my brain is thoroughly trained in patterns because I majored in math in college and I have my master's degree. So it's been trained to look at everything in the world as patterns. And I realized too that my memory doesn't work really good until I can find the pattern. Once I find the pattern, my memory is great.
Which is so interesting. If you look at your backdrop, it's all patterns.
Yeah, it's all patterns. It's because I'm a quilter, but I do patterns.
Right, that makes sense. That shoe fits.
You know, so it took me 15 years to figure out all the patterns in the name, and then it got tested. I was already giving spiritual readings around the world and being invited to come speak on spirituality. And so I simply said to my host, while I'm there, can I talk also on nemology science? So everybody said afterwards, we're fascinated by this. How do we find out more information? So and that's how the book started. It was literally because clients demanded more. And so you'll see a lot of spirituality in with the names. And because I became a meditator at 18 and meditated every day, and I got that strong connection, you know, where I can get answers for others by the time I was 36. So this was a team effort. I started on my own doing it and looking for the patterns, but then I started getting woken up every morning at 4 a.m. by spirit. And they'd say, have you thought about this? Did you try this? You may want to consider this. So I look at this whole thing as inspired, divinely inspired, and that's why the accuracy is so high.
Awesome. Obviously so. And we've known you for a long time, at least 10 years, and you have really, you haven't wavered.
No.
You haven't wavered at all. If anything, you've just got, you know, you can see that you've just propelled with, you know, what you learned there. So thanks for your service for doing this, because it's very unique. It's a very interesting way that people should explore here.
And just real quick, before we start diving into all these topics, if anyone is having relationship issues, you can also help with that as well, because you can...
It's really fun, April. You can compare two names and see where the issues are going to be, but better yet, you can see where the solutions are.
That's great.
That's pretty cool. And that's not only in a personal relationships, that's in professional relationships too, right?
Exactly. I was bombarded this morning by a lot of companies that I'm on retainer for HR companies, and they were bombarding that we have this issue with these employees. How do we solve it? Or here's the people that we're interviewing. You know, which ones do we really want? Or here's a list of everybody that's applied for this job. Who do we want to interview? I mean, this morning I thought, wow, we're all moving forward again. The energy has shifted because of the number of emails that I receive from the people that have me on retainer.
That is very, very cool that you do that. I want to dive into your thoughts on a couple of topics here that we're talking about. And this is something unique. You don't really hear this a lot, but I know we were speaking about this. We actually don't come to Earth for lessons, as many say. So people say, hey, we come to Earth for lessons. You're saying we don't. Why do we come to Earth?
Well, okay. So in the word lesson, I think vocabulary is very important. It literally spells less on. And so if you're a less on and less on and you're doing more and more less, then pretty soon you're a moron, or you want to be a moron and able to get more. I mean, I'm just joking with the words, but we come here for experiences because our soul already has the knowledge that we want. So for example, let's say we have all have the knowledge of Einstein's theory of relativity, that E equals MC squared, but we may not know where the numbers come from that plug into that formula, when to apply that formula, when we have to tweak the formula, when another formula is better, because we don't have the experience to go with that piece of knowledge. So we come here, the soul has all the knowledge, it's already in us, but we don't have the experiences to give us the depth and the breadth of the knowledge that we're choosing. And so therefore we come to Earth to get experiences. So the more variety of experiences you can give yourself, the better the life lived. And so we just want to experience as many things as possible. I remember taking my kids out when everybody said, oh, they're too young to remember that, or they're too young for this or that. And I thought, hey, it's an experience the soul is gathering, mm-hmm. You know?
That's really good. Yeah, that's so, pretty good.
And so all those people that are afraid to try something, I say, try it, bomb it, it doesn't matter. You're gaining experiences. And literally, when you get to the great beyond, a life well-lived is the one that's gathered the most experiences.
That's true. We can't argue that.
So how does the soul then plan for this incarnation? So when the soul's coming here for the experience, like what's that look like on the great beyond, if you would? What's that conversation? Do they say, when they get here, do they say, holy crap, take me back, I changed my mind? Do they, no. You know, are they, you know what I mean? Because I would imagine it's a different thought process than that when they're actually here, or do they know?
You know, what's really cool is the soul does a lot of planning ahead of time, okay? So let me describe what's happening for you every time that your soul's getting ready to incarnate. First of all, you're with a master guide or a master teacher or somebody who's going to help you plan. And they're going to ask you questions and they're going to give you guidance, even though the decisions are yours. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so first of all, you're picking your parents. We all choose our parents. What group are we going to come into? Now, some of us pick unsafe parents. Okay. And so it's kind of cool because in the names, you can see why you chose that parent. But we pick our parents first. Then we look at their genetics and their DNA. And it's like you're going to a big mall and there's a store on eyes and a store on ears and a store, on noses. And you go into the area and it says, here's all the possible eyes that you can pick from these two people's DNA. What do your eyes want to look like? And you pick what your eyes are. You go into the nose area and you go, okay, here are all the combinations you can get from these two people. Which one do you want? And so you do that with every aspect of your physicality. Okay, so you're picking exactly how you look. Mm-hmm. And isn't that not cool?
Like then, a Mr. Potato Head?
I swear to God, I was going to say the same exact thing.
Like a Mr. Potato Head?
I was just about to spit it out.
Exactly. You're choosing. So we all look exactly like how we want to look. Okay. And I love the fact that when there were still only seven religions on the world, okay, before I jokingly always say that they multiplied and divided and everybody made up their own, they all agreed that we not only choose our parents, that we choose our looks. Okay. And so then after you've got your looks, then you're working with your guidance committee on the timing. When do you have to literally help the implantation take place so that your parents become pregnant? Okay. Based on when it is that you want to be born, based on what it is you choose to experience and what experiences you want, what's your theme for this lifetime? And then you have the seven subparts of enable to accomplish this theme. What are the seven major things that I have to experience and able to complete my goal? Okay. So once you've got that all planned out and the timing planned out, then you start saying, what name is going to lay out this blueprint to remind me that this is what I'm choosing to do and this is my timing, how I've set it up. So therefore, you impress upon the ones that's going to name you what you want to be called. So we even pick our name. Then in our name is also our timing. You can figure out the timing, like what year we should be focusing on what. Then we sit around and we have soul families, okay? And so we say, okay, we're going down to earth this time and we want to conduct this play, but I need other people in my play. So in this particular play, this incarnation, who's going to be the good guys? Who's going to be the bad guys? Who's going to give me the most challenges? Who's going to be in my face to make me consider things differently than I would have otherwise? You know, let's play out our parts. What are you learning this time? What are you learning this time? You know, what experiences do you want to have and how can we help each other? So you all get your parts. In some lifetimes, we're the good guys. In some lifetimes, we're not the good guys. Okay, we've all played all parts. Okay, but notice that if you look at the actors and the actresses in a play, it doesn't matter who's good guys and who's a bad guy. They get the story across. But after the play's over, they're all hanging out together and they're going to the bar or the party or the whatnot. And they're all celebrating. Great acting job. Okay, exactly. So we're all here to have this play. And so once we determine the part in the play that we're going to have, then we say, do we have enough soul family members to produce this play? Or do we need to go to a neighboring soul family and talk some of their characters and their souls into coming joining us in our play? You know, would you come in just for a short period of time because we need an extra body? Okay. Mm-hmm. So all of that is pre-planned. Now, the major events in our life are pre-planned. Okay, the very major events, like I'm going to get married to this one at around this time, or around this time, I'm going to talk with God and say, okay, my life is over, I'm done. You know, I only want to be there for this length of time, because all of that's planned.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the major events are planned, but how we get, so that's predestination, but only the major events. So then how we get from one event to the next event, and how long it takes us to get there, that's up to free will choice. It's like saying the train is on the tracks. That's what's planned. However, I can stop the train and get off and take a side train and then come back to my main train. I can slow the train down. I can speed the train up. All of that is free will choice. But of course, sometimes if you speed the train up, then you're not meeting the people who you plan to meet at the time you plan to meet them. Right. You know, so you might get stuck someplace waiting for everybody else to show up.
Do you eventually make that? Go ahead.
No. Oh, okay. So a couple of things. First thing people are going to think, not the first thing, but I'm sure it's going to come across minds. Okay. If I pick the way I look, why didn't I pick to look like a supermodel? How did I end up like, you know, 4'1" and, you know, like large, right? That's the first thing. And then the second thing is, why would I have put myself through all this pain, suffering, agony to go through disfigurements or amputations or illnesses?
A burn victim.
That's got to be the most painful, agonizing thing that can possibly
happen. Because the soul wants to gain experiences, all experiences. The soul doesn't want to be left without the experience. So sometimes we need something drastic to wake us up and help us remember. I mean, I look at what just recently happened with my leg and I go, why in the world would I have created this? But think about it. Think about how empowering it is. When you don't play the blame game, when you take total responsibility for everything that happens in your life, even the things that when you're literally creating distortions with other people, okay, or other souls, because we can create distortions instead of perfection. You know, we do that all the time because it gives us the power to say, oh, now what am I going to do? What am I going to do in this situation? How do I rise above the situation and still believe in God and still get on my path and make the best of this? In other words, where's the silver lining? Why would I have planned this? And literally, we have put ourselves through so many things, but it empowers us. Think about it for a minute. If you get a disease or an ailment and you say, oh, so-and-so did this to me, or this happened out of my control, or this, whatever, you're playing the blame game. Okay. Something outside of me caused this. Then what happens is you're disempowered. How can you fix something that you didn't create in the first place? However, if you take total responsibility and say, oh my goodness gracious, look what I did to me. I wonder why. And then you start asking, where's the silver lining? What is this in here?
So let me ask, that makes perfect sense. Thank you. So let me ask you this. Okay, so what about this then? When you see someone, whether you're driving and you see someone panhandling or they have the sign, or you walk by somebody that's terribly disfigured and the first thing you think is, oh my God, I feel so sorry for you. You know, that's such an awful thing that you must be going through, or in the experiences. Or should we not be doing that? Because should we be training our brain like, oh, I hope you're having a great day because you chose to go through that experience?
And then you can say with compassion, how can I assist? With compassion, did you decide to be maimed so that you could help your family have experiences and learn compassion and how to deal with somebody who is not looking perfect? Okay. For an example, we have in my family that I grew up with, it was very competitive and everybody had to be better and smarter and everything else. And I always felt like the caboose in the family. Okay. Because I came in.
Absolutely- I can only just imagine because you're a really good caboose.
You know, but compared to my sisters and my parents, oh my goodness gracious, talk about real geniuses. And so, I mean, I got to benefit by being around all these smart people. But I did. I always felt like the caboose, the last one to catch on to anything. And so I look at that and I think, why would I do that? Well, first of all, I can honor somebody else's intelligence and be so grateful I get to be around them and learn from them. Mm-hmm. Okay. And at the same time, it kept me very what I want to call normal so that my ego doesn't get out of balance. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yes, I'm doing this. And everybody goes, oh my gosh, you must be so smart. And I thought, all of us are smart somewhere. You know, that's just my thing. And so I just look at it and I think, why would I do this? But everybody was always competing with each other. Who can be better? Who can be smarter? Who can win more games? Who can get more accolades? You know, and one of my sisters had a child that came in with Down syndrome. Now that child with Down syndrome cannot compete, mm-hmm. even though that child is now, she's been on Glee, she's been on all kind in movies, she gives talks, she was the face of the Special Olympics. I mean, look at this very competitive family, even for the child that came in with Down syndrome. However, I asked, why would that child pick this family to come in with Down syndrome? And it was a great lesson for the entire family that you've got to learn who to accept somebody for who they are and not their accomplishments.
Do you think that when people choose their families or when they're coming in, Sharon, and then, you know, for most people, there's always that whole, you know, tell me a functional family kind of theory, right? You know what I mean? Like nobody seems to think that. And so they go outside and they say, let me find out another form of family, i.e. my earth family, my soul earth family, my soul cluster of sorts. Is that just part of the experience? Should we be doing that? Or should we be more running back to our, let's say, earth or our incarnated family and saying, how do we fix those things first and kind of realize what's going on there before we run and try to find another version of a family?
Well, I think we do all of the above, Jay. It's kind of like our family is our greatest teacher, but when you asked, should we, I want to mention about vocabulary. It doesn't even sound nice to be should on, okay? And that's because if you do what the person suggests that you're shoulding on and you don't like the results, you blame them. And if you feel guilty, if you don't do it, you know, then you've got guilt. So I don't like to shit on people. I just make a lot of recommendations and suggestions. It's just like I never give advice. I do not add advice to somebody's life. So you start with your soul family, or the family that you chose, your soul chose, because they become your first and greatest teachers. They're setting the mood for the whole lifetime. And how many of us spend a great deal of our adult years trying to get over our childhood years? Okay. Exactly. Or incorporating them. So they set the stage. They've defined the play for us. This is the part you're going to play. This is the template. Okay. And that is the perfect template for your soul, for what your soul came to choose to experience in this lifetime. Okay. Then once you've garnered as much as you can, or as much as you think is appropriate from your particular closest family, which are your first teachers, then we start expanding out. We go to school, we have friends, we have employers, you know, we have the people down the street that yell comments at their car, you know, all of it. It's that then everybody starts chipping in, and you always get the choice. How are you going to respond? And that's what responsibility means, the ability to respond. And you can respond appropriately or inappropriately. And appropriately is always coming from love. Inappropriately is when you're not coming from love. And that's a constant choice. Every time somebody says anything, does anything, you know, it's always our choice. Yeah. And sometimes love doesn't look great. Do you have time for a story? And I'll explain that one.
Sure. I'd love to, yeah.
Okay. So when I was first channeling and being a spiritual conduit was what I call myself, a lady came from a reading. Now, the background is I had just sold almost all the furniture in my whole living room and a ton of other stuff because I wasn't able on a teacher's salary to pay for my kids' needs at their private schools. Okay. And they were in schools for what to meet their needs. And I needed money. So I literally put my belongings up for sale. And so I was sitting in this living room and I had two chairs and a small table. And that was it in this entire living dining room area. And this lady came in and she said, I became a single parent and my family paid for everything for a year to help me get back on my feet. But at the end of the year, they stopped paying my rent. They stopped paying everything. And now I don't know what to do. And I just hate my family. And I thought, I became a single parent and nobody helped me, period. And look what I'm going through and what I'm willing to do without. And I'm living in a very small 450 square foot apartment. And I thought, how ungrateful. You had help and somebody paid for everything for an entire year. Mm-hmm. And I exploded on how ungrateful she was. I said, I can't do a reading for you. I have to get to such a place of love and able to pull in spirit to give you the answers that you require. And you are so ungrateful. Look at all the advantages you had and all the whatnot. And I really exploded, which is very, very rare for me. And of course, I didn't collect any money. I didn't charge her anything. I couldn't wait for that lady to get out of my place. Okay. Well, a year later, and afterwards, I berated me. Oh my gosh, I didn't come from love. I didn't do this appropriately. I need to be better at this. Whatever. I need to stop judging, you know? And what was really interesting is a year later, she wrote me and she said, your eruption was exactly what I needed. And this is what I've done. And now I'm on my own two feet. Aww. And I just wanted to thank you for that eruption. So we never know how spirit is going to utilize our right. services.
That's true.
That's so fascinating. And you know, I keep thinking as you're talking about this, I'm like, wow, what a crazy, crazy difference the world would be as if we just really did know and think that way that, hey, mm-hmm. you know, we just signed up for this. Existence is only a game kind of plan, right?
Well, yeah, because you wouldn't have the victim mentality.
You wouldn't have the victim mentality. Exactly.
Yeah. And it's so empowering. It's like, yeah. I did this to me. Now, because I did it to me, I can also fix it.
Exactly.
Okay, so let me ask you this now. When we came in to, you want to go?
No, go ahead. Because I'm going to write my question down.
Okay. you got a chance, you know what I mean? Remember, we decided this before we came here that, you know, we were going to butt into each other like that. But, you know, just the thought process, like, so when we came down here and made these decisions and laid out our map, let's say we're running, we go through whatever experience. Do we can we alter that destiny per se? Is there a destiny that did we write out a full destined plan, or did we have multiple choices along the way that we can go here? And I know what you're saying about free will, and I gathered free will could be the timing maybe, but our actual choice as far as what we end up doing, like our call it our purpose, career, job, whatever you want to define it as, can those be altered along the way? Or did we write that out?
The answer is yes, it can be, because you have free will choice. That's the greatest gift God could give us. Okay. Because if not, we'd all be robots. Okay. Like if everything was pre-planned. Now there's certain markers along your life that are pre-planned or planned ahead of time. It's like, you're going to get married at this person to this time at this time. Okay. Or you're going to get divorced at this time. Or there's going to be a death in the family that you've got to deal with at this time, or there's going to be an illness at this time. All of the major things are pre-planned. However, you can get there because you have free will choice and say, this was pre-planned, but now I'm here, I'm choosing differently. But then when you get to the great beyond, you'll go, why did I do that? I missed one of the markers on why I came. And it's the same type of thing when somebody changes their name. It doesn't change the blueprint that's hidden in the name that says, this is what I plan, and here's my major event, and here's my markers, because it's all free will to get from one marker to the next. Instead, you say, how I'm going about getting these markers done is different. So for an example, let's say that my goal was to get from LA to New York. So I start walking. Well, this is going to take me a long time. Okay. So then I notice that there's buses going by. And I go, if I stopped and got a job and earned some money, then I could have the money for a bus ticket and I could take the bus. But then I realized the trains go faster. So now how do I get on a train? But your name will tell you how to get on that airplane and what's the fastest route that you want to take to get that goal accomplished. So the blueprint is there, and then you have free will choice. Are you following it or not? And how you're getting from the major destination points is up to you.
Before we get to some names, I just had a thought. So this is a very hard concept for a lot of people to digest, that I am the creator of my destiny and I came here and everything was already pre-planned before I even got here. Just even the incarnation or reincarnation is a hard concept for people to grasp. So what can you say to people that are constantly like, oh, woe is me, and woe is me, and the, you know, everything, the world is against me, when really you created it and you chose this life. So what can you say to people who don't really understand that concept?
Okay. First, not everything is pre-planned, just your major events. When you're going to have an intersection with somebody who's going to make a great difference in your life, that meeting is pre-planned, but all the little things, not pre-planned.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Just the major events.
Or when people say, my parents are so awful. Why did they do this to me? I've had a terrible childhood. I would have never picked a childhood like that.
Okay, so I did not pick a safe parent, okay? And I have asked, why did I choose this for me? You know, something's going on, and I listened to everybody else, and I was so full of hatred because I just felt hated in the household. I felt hated everywhere. And I used, and literally in my diary, the first day of eighth grade it says, I don't care if other people hate me. I'm better at it. I can hate them more. I mean, literally. And then I heard some people talking and I thought, you know what? I'm going to start reading about God and find out why we're here and why we're in this situation. And there's got to be answers. And it seems to me that the only one with the answers is God. So I look back and I think, first of all, I learned how to think. My dad was great at teaching us. I got interested in spirituality because different things my mom was going through and who she was studying with. And I look back and I think, I love what my parents taught me. Absolutely. I'm so grateful. I just didn't like their modalities. Okay. How they went about doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I hadn't picked my parents, I probably wouldn't have turned to God. And look, that's defined my entire life. And it put me on this goal of understanding why we're here, how to work in this world, in this big playground of illusion. And so we choose for different reasons, but we're empowered when we take responsibility and say, I did this to me. Mm-hmm. They didn't do this to me. I did this to me.
Sharon, I want to I want to give the audience examples of how you work through name scenarios, and we'll get there in a minute. But one question I do ask you, I want to ask you on this one. So a married couple, for example, and one of the spouses changes their name, does that alter what they set out to do because they changed their, let's say, their last name? And someone that says, you know what, I hate my freaking family, I'm changing my whole name, my whole identity and everything. I want a new driver's license. Does that alter what they set out to do? Did they change their course of what they were supposed to do, or was that part of the plan?
The blueprint always stays the same. The birth name always stays the same. Whatever's on that birth certificate, there's the plan. The plan doesn't change. How you go about the plan changes. Like from, do I want to take a train, a plane, a boat? You know, am I going to walk, bicycle? How you go about that plan, that's what changes. Now, when you change your last name, the last name always says who you are attracting to you, who you are listening to, what, how their opinions are going to influence you. Okay. And so when you change your last name, you're changing the type of person that you're bringing into your world and who you are listening to.
You're changing the type of person. So what if you have like a, you know, like a lot of people will use their, is it maiden name?
Maiden, yeah.
Maiden name and then
hyphenated
kind of thing, right? What if they do that? Is that the way to do it?
You keep the same comfort zone of the first original type of person that you're listening to. And now you're expanding and you're adding more people with various points of view when you're adding a last name to yours, but you're not dropping yours. Okay. When you drop yours, you're saying, I'm done with that phase of my life. Now I'm going to listen to these people.
Mm. But when you keep it, you're still hanging on to your phase of your life.
Well, you're expanding. You keep that part, and now you're expanding to include this next part.
I got it. Okay.
Very interesting.
That is very interesting. Hey, you want to get into some names? And yes. Let's
talking about God and masters you talked about earlier. There's a lot of, you see, well, God, big G, little G. What is your interpretation of the spelling of it?
Okay. So my understanding is when you have a big G, that means the creator of all that is. The supreme God. Okay. When you have the little g, it indicates that these entities, these beings, have so many qualities that you don't know how to do, that you don't know how they do those, that you label them as a God. Or you can also think of that kind of like I look at a dog that comes up and gets fed every day by the person that owns the dog. And the dog says, oh my God, that person must be like a God because they just manifest food for me. They manifest my needs. And right. The dog doesn't understand how it's done.
Right.
So it's the same thing. We can look at other beings that are more advanced or at a higher ascension point than where we are. And we can say they're like God because they're doing things that we don't realize how to do yet. The other thing that's important is that inside all is one. Okay. God created out of self everything that exists. Okay. And then he gave us free will choice, which means all of us are a cell or a part of how I look at it is we're all a cell in God's body. Just like as above, so below, we have a lot of different cells in our body. We are a cell in God's body. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important that we come from compassion, we come from love in as many moments as possible so that we are a healthy cell in God's body and not a cancerous cell.
Excuse me.
Yeah, blessing. Now, let's look at this word blessings. I habitually say bless you and blessings, but if you look at the spelling, it says be and less.
Right. Be less.
So I'm doing my very best to stop saying blessings because I don't choose to invite somebody to be less than who they are.
So what should you say? Because I've heard that before.
You have heard that before?
Yeah. The be and then the less. Yeah.
So I say, wishing you the best.
Wishing you the best. So, okay, let's break this apart. This is good.
Should you say wishing you the best?
I always say just wishing you the best.
Wishing you the best. Versus be less.
Be less. I want you to be best.
Okay. Wishing you the best. All right, everybody. Did you get that? So if you're blessing people, you want to wish them the best.
Well, you know,
as
what?
An alternative. You
that want to makes be open sense to that. Because everything is inverted in our life, right? So maybe the powers that be. So let's take this word blessings and make everybody believe that it's something positive when it's really you're
telling everybody to be less.
You know, I wish you to be less in your life.
Is that possibly what happened? Is there a hoodwink thing going on there?
Oh, there is. Let's look at the word jealousy for an example. Okay. Jealousy is spelled J-E-A and then the word lousy. So they're saying if you're jealous, you're just going to feel lousy, right? Yeah. And yet we can look at jealousy as this is a motivational factor. If I'm jealous of what somebody else is doing or having, that tells me I want that. That's very clear. I would not be jealous of somebody else if I didn't want that for my own life. And then you can look at it and say, I'm closer to it now if I'm pulling in somebody else who's done it. I remember when I wanted to write the first book, Know the Name, Know the Person, and I thought, I do not know one author. So how am I going to go about this? Suddenly, when I'd made up my mind that I was going to write this first book because so many people were asking me to, all of a sudden authors started showing up in my life. And yes, I was jealous they had a published book, but I started thinking, if they can do it, so can I. And let me ask them how they went about it. Let me learn from them and see if that can't help me. You know, so instead it became a motivation. That jealousy is because you go, wow, they've got what I'm choosing, and it helps define what it is that's important in your life and what you are choosing. So there's no nebulous, I don't know, you know, all of that goes away. So you look at the people you're jealous of and you say, if I want what they've got, now it's clear what I choose. Now let's go about getting it.
Mm-hmm. So cool. I got you. Okay. That is an interesting viewpoint on that. Anger. What about the word anger? Since we're taking a look at the possibility of being, you know, where things reverse.
The opposite.
Okay. So anger is really that you got a result that you were choosing a different result. So you were result oriented instead of saying, being very clear and defined, this is what I'm choosing, and then making sure you have appropriate steps to get what you're choosing. So when people get angry, it's because they feel like they've lost their power. Because all of us know as a soul basis that we're all very, very powerful, mm-hmm. but no one's more powerful than somebody else, okay? So when you're angry, you're literally saying, I have to get loud and big and scary to reclaim the power that I feel like I've lost. So I had a nephew that used to get really mad sometimes, and I would just look at him and say, wow, are you ever giving away your power? And he would calm right down and go, what, you know? And I go, who do you think? You think somebody took your power, but who did you give it to? Because nobody can take something without your permission. So where did you lose it? And why not simply go in within yourself and reclaim your own power, recognizing that you are powerful? And it simply, there was a result that you didn't approve of, go back and change it. It's kind of like if you're making a picture and you don't like the color, or you've painted a wall and you don't like the color, you go paint it a different color. Mm-hmm. Go back and fix so that it's more appropriate for you. The other thing that causes people to be angry is when they feel like they haven't been heard. So when I was in central office, I'd gotten promoted to central office in the school district, and they decided that anybody that had a complaint about any of the schools should come to me. That because I was in charge of counselors, is one of the five areas I was in charge of, that I should be the one that everybody comes and deals with the complaints. And what I realized during that time is most people just want to be heard. Mm-hmm. So they would sit down and I would say, okay, what's the problem? And they would tell me. And I'd say, let me see if I heard this correctly. And I don't care how perfect I would say it back. It was never good enough the first time, normally not the second time, but the third or fourth time they go, yes, you've got it. And I didn't care how long it took. I wanted them to know I heard them. Okay. And the minute they knew they were heard, the person calmed down. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, have you talked to the principal about this? In other words, have you gone through the chain of commands? And whether they said yes or no didn't matter to me. I would call the principal next and I would say, I have so-and-so in my office. This is the complaint. Can I please have your side? And so sometimes the principal would say, I haven't talked to that person. And I'd go, well, be ready. They're on their way, you know? And in the meantime, they've got the complaint. They can be finding the answer before that parent gets there. Okay. On the other hand, if they told me, here's my side, I'd say, okay, I'll get back to you. And then I'd look at the person and I'd say, what is it that you wished would have happened? Mm-hmm. In other words, what result are you looking for that you didn't get? Mm-hmm. And they would tell me. And then I'd simply say, we can do this, but we cannot do that. And then I'd call the principal back if I was the one solving the problem and saying, this is what we're going to do to solve this problem. Are you agreeable with that? And if they hadn't seen the principal, I'd say, you need to learn how you go through the chain of commands. I am not able to help you unless you follow the chain of command. And so you need to go back and give the principal a chance. Then if you're not happy, then come back and see me. And so because of that experience, I really realized that anytime somebody's getting mad, they haven't been heard. And the first thing to do is to say, I'm listening. What's the problem? And then repeat it back until they get it. And you watch people simply calm down immediately. Then the next thing I do is I say,
a message.
What?
I say,
this is a perfect message for Jay.
I'm listening. What's the problem? Yeah. And for me to say that to you.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
I'm listening because we create the problem so that we can solve the problem. Okay. And we don't really want somebody else to solve it for us. That can make us madder. We want somebody to hear us.
That's it. And so let me speak it out. Let me get it out.
Let me get it out. Let me be heard.
Let me get it out and I'll be fine.
Actually, mine should be, I'm listening. What is the problem now?
Well, whatever, but anything, exactly.
What's today's problem?
Whatever. Yeah,
but if you repeat it back what you've heard, that tells them and shows them you really have been listening.
I want to go ahead.
And then to complete it though with somebody, you really want to be say afterwards, I see this is very important to you. Let me think about it. Because you don't want to have a discussion while they're still calming down. And if you come back.
That's true. That is true.
I'll give you that one.
Yeah, that's
okay.
True.
So you come back an hour or two later and you say, okay, I have thought about this. Do you want a discussion now?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's yes and it's a 3-minute discussion and it's over. And sometimes it's no, I feel good. Thank you. And look at how simple that is. And you're not dealing with somebody who's angry.
Exactly.
That's good stuff, right? Hey, everybody.
Lessons right there.
If you didn't get that, you should probably rewind this part. This is good. This is good therapeutic stuff. What are we going to ask?
God has so many names, right? Various names. They say there's 1,000 names of God. And so, and also you have Satan, the devil, Lucifer. What do you make out of those names? Have they also been inverted? Like even just the name, the word Satan or Lucifer.
Okay. So when you're looking at all the different names for God, okay, you are looking at different aspects of our creator. And just like the different religions look at different modalities or different aspects of our creator. And so if you take all of the names of God and put them together, you have wholeness instead of having separation in the different aspects. And that's where we're going to. When they say we're ascending into fifth dimension or this is the end times, this is the end of duality and the beginning of oneness. And the earth is already in the fifth dimension and the human beings on the planet are simply catching up.
So when you say this is the end, I just want to put this in perspective for people, Sharon. When you say this is the end of duality, this is now going into oneness, which means that there's no God, there's no Satan, there's just the different aspects of God.
If God was all there was and there's oneness, then Satan came from God as a creation, just as you
exactly.
and I.
So it is what it is. I got you.
Okay. And through free will choice, Satan plays his role. But we cannot have duality without a good guy and a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
so he's playing his part.
All right, well,
give us 3 years and 4 years down the road. There won't be evil on this planet. It's going to be gone. We're going to go through some messy times in the next 3 years. But at 2025, no matter how messy it looks, we're going to all be happy because we're going to say, okay, it's been a war for our souls and our minds. And the evil is done and off the planet. Now, how do we rebuild? What do we want next?
Okay, so this is a real important one here. I want to ask you this one. I'm going to throw this one at you. So when people say like, you know, in the spiritual world, Mercury's in retrograde or this planet's in this house or whatever. So it always seems like everything's in retrograde, right? Mercury's in retrograde like 25,000 times a year. So which is like, you can't do anything, right? It's like,
you can never get out of it.
Does the name supersede Mercury in retrograde or things like that? So for example, like if two people were to get into a business arrangement together, would there, and their names are a match in their name. Does that supersede a Mercury in retrograde scenario?
Okay, so it literally, your name says how you're going to go about something. So Mercury in retrograde literally says it's a time for reflection. It's a time to redo. It's all the rewords. Okay, it's the reconsider. It's the slow down. You know, you're moving too fast type of thing. And so we have different energy influences because everything is energy. And so all these planets are sending energy in our direction. How we respond to that energy is up to us. I love Mercury retrograde because it's a great time to sit down and plan. Things slow down, quiet down. It's a great time to write. It's a great time to finish what I haven't finished earlier that were goals. It's a harder time for clients sometimes, but it's a slow down period to reconsider, relook, and now plan ahead. And we need those times because our world can go so fast that sometimes we feel like we're just on a roller coaster ride.
Mm-hmm. Do you got any? Because I know you got a lot too.
I have about 1,000. But all
right, I'm going to jump in right here then while you're doing this. And I appreciate that. You see that? Okay, so I appreciate.
Thank you.
I'm learning here, Sharon. Okay, so like people talk, let's say, for example, current season. I don't want to, I'm not asking you for a prediction, but like the title of the currency, let's say, for example, like cryptocurrency. How does that, you know what I mean? What does that vibrate as far as that one says CRYPTO currency like that?
Okay. It literally says, I'm going to be the one in charge. I'm going to go to the top and you're always going to remember me, good or bad. It's my way. And I'll be remembered.
Okay. And this is pretty.
Well, what does gold say then?
Gold says we have a temper. We're nourishing. You think you're taking care of you, but in the end, you may get upset and get mad. And remember in the Bible, it says the streets were filled with gold. Mm-hmm. I always look at that and say, what value does gold really have other than the value we have given it? Mm-hmm. Now, silver is used in so many areas, in computers, in cars, in machines. Silver has a real value all of its own. Mm-hmm. But what do we use gold for other than tooth fillings and jewelry?
Oh, but then we priced it way above silver. What you were saying is silver.
Silver will be more in demand than gold eventually because silver has more utilizations, areas where we want to utilize it, and than gold does.
Mm-hmm. Interesting on that. Wow.
Well, if you took apart crypto, what would it say about like specifically Bitcoin? Because that has so many swings to it. People are like, oh, it's going to go to 500,000. No, it's not. It's going to drop to zero and vanish.
Well, Bitcoin was utilized by the dark side and able as their currency. So it couldn't be tracked and it couldn't be whatever. So you look at the energy behind it, and that's why it goes up and down, because remember, it's a war. We're in a war over everything. Who's going to win?
Yep. Okay.
Now, God's already promised us God wins. So I want to say, you want to pick the winning side. You already know God wins. Pick that side. Mm-hmm. Okay. But other people think that the left-hand path versus the right-hand path, the left-hand path versus Satan, who sits on the left hand of God, is going to get him up there too. Okay. Instead of the right-hand path, but we have right and wrong. So you want to pick the right. Okay. Because you're still in duality. But in the name cryptocurrency, I think if you break down the letters, it says that, first of all, it says that I'm going to be the one in charge. I'm going to be the one in control, but I'm jealous of anybody who's doing better than me. And that's right there in the beginning of it. Then it says, I'm going to use my power of influence to go to the top. Okay. And I want to be the ruler of all of the other currencies. Mm-hmm. And then it says, but you're always going to remember me one way or another. Okay, that's literally taking it letter by letter going through. Now, when I look at Bitcoin, the Bs are always representing bigger, better, best. So Bitcoin starts off saying, I'm going to be the very best. Out of all of the cryptocurrencies, I'm the one. Okay. And then it says, I'm going to include as many people as possible. I want to go to the top, but I'm the one in control. and nothing you can do will matter because I'm the one in control and I'm independent. And again, you're going to remember what happens. Hmm. And that's if you
so break far, it that's up. True.
You're definitely remembering what's happening. That's for sure on that true. One. This is pretty cool, isn't it?
Yes, when you really look at words and letters, it's fascinating.
But I got to tell you something. I'm really just at a personal level very connected with how you approach all this. I really am, because it does. Number one, it's just for nothing other than the fact of like it just completely changes your thought patterns if mm-hmm. you just, you know what I mean, and really puts you in a state of like, okay, this is I get this. You know what I mean, and it mm-hmm. totally changes your vibe. Which when you change your vibe, you know, you can do that. So when people take a look at like words like manifest.
Okay. So that's a festation caused by man. That's manifest. It's a festation. And do you want that festation to be positive or do you want that festation to be neutral? Do you want it to be negative? What is it that you are festering about, you know, that's taking your energy that you are then creating?
So do you not want to manifest then because you're festering? Do you want to replace that with summon maybe?
I wish to replace it with, what are you pulling to you? Are we using pull energy or push energy? Manifesting is push energy. You're actually pushing it away.
Right. That's very interesting. I never thought about that. It is push.
Hold on a second. I want to make sure everybody got that. So manifest. So when you're manifesting everybody, what you're saying is you're pushing it away from you.
You're pushing it away from you. However, when you are creating something new, that is a very positive energy and you are pulling it towards you because the universe works on pull energy starting in the year 2000. The year 1000 was all male energy. And so males became more and more dominant as the 1000s, you know, all the way up to 1999. And then at the starting of the year 2000, we're now into feminine energy. Feminine, masculine energy is push, feminine energy is pull. So if you choose to be successful in any of these 2000s, anything that starts with that too, it's female energy, it's pull energy. And so therefore you want to pull and attract things to you by your actions, by your thoughts, by your deeds, you're pulling it into existence instead of pushing it.
What about the word prosperity?
Prosperity is an interesting word because you're using props. Think about it, props and prosperity, okay? Mm-hmm. You're using tools to get to what you wish. But prosperity can show up in so many different ways. It has to start within you. It has to start with your thinking and your belief system. Now, what we believe is simply a thought that's been rethunk many, many times. And that becomes a belief, mm-hmm. okay? So you change your initial thought and you repeat that initial thought. Like, let's say you think money comes to me easily, consistently, and in abundance. Now that I partner with the universe, okay, money flows to me daily. So there's a manifesting, what could be manifesting in the old fashioned way, but this time instead, you're saying, hey, I'm partnering with the universe. Mm-hmm. And the universe is my partner, and the universe wishes for me to succeed because all of us are a part of this great plan to ascend, and the universe wants us to get better. So therefore, partnering with the universe chooses to bring to me finances consistently and in abundance.
I noticed throughout this conversation with you, you said though, or in some variation of the word wish, you said wish. What do you wish for? The universe wishes for me. Is that a strong word you use for a specific reason? Wish?
I say also intend. If I'm wishing for somebody else, that's what I wish for them. But the worst sin we can do, and the only sin I think in the universe, is when you take away somebody else's free will choice. So therefore, I'm wishing something for them. They can accept it or they can reject it. Okay. So it's like I'm saying, here's a platter of food, eat it or don't eat it. But it doesn't matter to me which one you do, but I've provided the platter. Okay. When I'm creating for myself, I say, I intend to have. And then I will say, thank you for providing to the universe. Thank you for providing this. Because I know on the other side in the great beyond, they go, what? She's already thanking us for that? That means we're behind. We got to get this faster. We got to get this done.
Yeah.
What's your favorite word?
For what? For what? For
any
what
word. Purpose? I know you have to probably.
Compassion.
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 And why is that?
Because when you're in a state of compassion, there's no place for you to judge.
True.
You can't be in compassion and judgment at the same time. And judgment separates people and compassion joins people.
What's your, can I
tag on that one? And then what's a word that people say frequently and not realize it from your perspective that we should stop saying?
Use. Okay. It's use like, well, use my services. You don't want to be used up. You don't want to be taken advantage of. So instead of saying use my services, I want to say utilize my services.
Yep. Utilize my services.
Utilize my services.
What's a strong prosperity word that you would recommend people to use for as it relates to prosperity? And what's a strong health word?
Okay, so a strong prosperity word is literally thank you.
Aww.
And I know that sounds so simplistic, but if you give gratitude, the attitude of gratitude makes the space for grace. So if you're coming from a place of gratitude, which is thank you, it opens up your receivership and therefore spirit can give you more because you're open to receiving. Mm-hmm. And how many people have a hard time receiving?
Yeah.
Okay. They say they choose something, but then they don't want to receive it.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So I want to say this to you or ask this of you, I should say, is, oh man, we can go on forever with you. That's how you're showing. So like when people are looking for guidance and they say, hey, you know, come to this, learn how to, and I want to get back to the prosperity for a minute because it's a hot topic. So
it's your favorite topic, let's face it.
Whatever, you know, it is, you know, but would you stay away from, hey, learn how to manifest, you know what I mean? When people are saying, hey, let me teach you how to manifest, would you stay away from those kind
of lessons? First of all, none of us really want to be taught anything. I know that sounds crazy, but we've gone to school and we had all this stuff thrown at us and everybody kept saying, I need to teach you this. I need to teach you this, which brings up rejection and, you know, like, resistance. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's let me share with you what I did, or let me share with you a method that worked for me and see if it'll work for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to come into a sharing mode, not a teaching mode. A teaching mode says, I'm smarter, I'm better, and you're less than.
Yeah.
A sharing mode says, we're equal, and I have this piece of knowledge that may benefit you or may not, but I'll share it with you, and then you can decide.
I've got something to share with you, everybody.
It resonates much better.
It's nicer.
Too. It's much nicer.
I've got something to share with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our vocabulary and what we use is so important in our own creation. You know, as I said earlier, it was very difficult with my mom and I, okay? She's got a very strong personality and it was right or wrong and you always had to do everything her way, okay? And it just, we didn't really have choice and that just rubbed me the wrong way growing up as a child. And it's always been a very interesting relationship. I have a lot of karma with her. I have a lot of things that I've had to figure out, settle out, whatever you want to say. I know she's one of my greatest teachers, even though her personality is very difficult for me. Mm-hmm. And last night on the phone, because I still make sure I talk with her at least once a week, even though she's like 90 years old. Okay. And last night on the phone, she says, I always feel better when you call because your voice is cheery and you come across happy. And so many people are in complaints. And she goes, I just feel better when I hear your voice. And I thought, isn't that amazing with all the work we can only do on ourselves and then how it shares out differently, you know, and all of a sudden where my mother never gave a compliment, my dad gave me two growing up, one in eighth grade and one when I graduated from college. Compliments were not what my family was good at. So all of a sudden to get a compliment, I mean, I can literally, just like I can tell you how often my dad complimented me, I can tell you how rare this is.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, just the sound of a voice that's not complaining.
Exactly.
And the reason that there's no complaints or none that would do any good to say, okay, is because if I was complaining, I'd be saying, I'm a failure in this area. I take responsibility for this.
Mm-hmm.
What I did didn't work. So why should I complain? Why don't I just fix it? Because I'm the one in charge of my life.
Interesting. Fascinating.
Very nice. Very nice.
And life on. Sherolyn Wyeth, we were getting down to the end of the show with you, and there's so much here I wanted to cover with you. Okay, so your websites, everybody, your websites in the links below. You're going to see it everywhere. When people do visit your site, what experience can you share with us? What experience would you like for them to get out of that? What journey would you like for them to go on?
Well, any page but the front page, you can literally access my third book for free. Now you access it, which means you're going to get a password and you sign in on that website, go to the member site, you get free membership, and then you can read it online. Okay. So if you want, just know the name, know how to connect, and that can help you improve your personal relationships. Just that skinny book on what that part is, where the other books are fat. Okay. Then if you go to the services page, there's four things that show up. There's four basic services that I offer. But if you want a reading, just tap on the reading. Then you're either getting a name reading, which is, why did you choose your parents? Why are you here? What's your seven component parts? You know, let's compare names with others. You know, we're going to talk about this from a very human perspective. Or you want what I call a light keeper reading, because I named the group that I work with on the other side the light keepers, because they're keeping the light. And they don't want to identify themselves, because they say, my group says, if you say who we are, then you're using unearned authority. And we need to be able to prove ourselves at every reading that we know what we're talking about. And we don't want you using unearned authority. So that anybody who's channeling, saying I'm channeling this one or I'm channeling that one, they believe that's unearned authority, because you're taking it on faith and not on proof.
Mm-hmm.
And so they asked me to name them.
I got you.
And so if you want a light keeper reading, that's when I get out of the way and I become my spiritual conduit. And my goal as a spiritual conduit is to keep myself clean and pure so that I can receive the messages and give the messages without my own personality coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Very,
very
cool.
Nice.
You know, I just absolutely always just love talking to you. It is really cool. It is really cool, your approach. And I mean this seriously. This is just I say this often now, especially now I'm saying it more often, I think, but sharing it more often, I should say, is that is that all
it's
we got?
Retraining the brain.
Well, all we got is each other's journeys in life, I feel like, you know what I mean, that to help us along our way. And so thank you for your service. I appreciate the dedication you're putting towards this to really help the rest of us, you know, just get a better view of our journey called life. So much love to you, our soul sister. Thank you very much. Thanks for being here.
It's always a pleasure to join both of you. April and Jay, you guys are doing a tremendous job. And I just love being able to share with you and with your audience, because I really think we're all in this together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And none of us really progress until all of us progress.
Exactly.
Well said. Well
Very
said.
Well said.
It's such a true statement. I absolutely believe that. And so many people do. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us, as you always do. And I hope you enjoyed this as much as we did. And we will see you all next time.
Thank you so much. And together we are turning the universal key to global harmony and creating a unified and prosperous new world. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends, and most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.
I'd like to share a story. While it may sound fictional, it's very real and happening right now in front of our very eyes. It's called the Great Awakening. Our sisters and brothers that come on Spiritually Raw are doing everything to help expand global consciousness, and in many cases, putting everything on the line to share their messages about what's happening around the world for the greater good of humanity, while exposing the truth of the deep state and the dark forces behind it all. We are living in the most unbelievable times, some may even say biblical, scary for many and yet exhilarating for others. Together we are taking part in getting everyone acclimated to the Great Awakening process and the exciting new discoveries that lie ahead. The sad part is many of our amazing guests are being heavily censored, socially shamed, and outright banned on many platforms for exposing the truth and piercing the veil. By becoming a viewer, you bring your powerful energy towards this global movement of other truth seekers. If you're resonating with our show, please let us know by hitting the like button, sharing, subscribing, turn on the notification, and leave some comments. Together, we will turn the universal key to global harmony and create a unified world. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends, and most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Thanks, and God bless Patriots worldwide.
Hi, everybody. April and Jay here from Spiritually Raw. Welcome to Spiritually Raw Secrets to Broadcasting Riches. Now, you're probably wondering, why did you guys put this course together? Well, this is truly a compilation of all of our experiences, our ups, our downs, our pitfalls, what's worked, what hasn't worked over the past 10 years. And the number one question that we continually get literally to this day is, how are you guys making money broadcasting? So we figured we'd put together a course because there's no better time than right now for everyone to get off the bleachers and start speaking to help raise the vibration of the planet. So we put together a course that is so easy to follow, but not only is it very easy to follow and it's our experiences, but in the course, you're going to meet 10 other people that took it along with us. They are in the journey. You're going to hear about their wins, their losses, their successes, their pitfalls, and what's preventing them or has prevented them from making money in the media world.
So in addition to that, we also understand the fact that we wanted to bring this element to the Secrets to Broadcasting Riches to you. So for those of you who are very serious about saying, okay, I need to give this a go. I got a voice out there. It's time for me to let that voice loose and share my truth with people. And you also need to know, okay, well, how do I do this so I can support my family and make a business out of this, right? So we also tie in the spiritual aspect of it. So in the course, you will learn the specific steps that April and I use that we connect with at a divine level to get that inspiration that really fuels us on a day-to-day basis, that really gives us the creativity we need, that gives us the direction we need, and really also taps us into our future selves to give us the roadmap so we know that we know with predictability what the outcome of these are going to look like. And you will get that same essence and same feeling as we go through this together.
Now, this course is for everyone. If you're a beginner and you have absolutely no idea where to start, or you've been at it, it could be for months or years, and you're not gaining any financial traction. The easiest way to get to where you want to be is find people or a mentor or experts in the area that you are looking to become an expert in and model what they're doing and model what they've done in the past. And this is exactly verbatim what we have done in this master course.
We've done this for 10 years. We've taken a lot of that out of the way for you, so you don't have to go through that same journey that we have. Okay, you can just go right there, pass go, collect your $200 and hopefully a lot more out of it. Cut out all the fat and everything that comes along with it. This is a really great time. Right now, we need people out there. We need people out there that are expressing their voices, because as you know, this is what your truth is, what will raise the vibration of the planet. And if we can collectively raise this vibration together, we are going to manifest everything that we're hearing out there. And so do your part. If this is on your radar right now to have your own show, to continue your own show and really give it a blast off, take this course. You really want to take this course because it will give you every specific step that you need. And if you like our style, which you know you probably are right now because you're watching it, and much love and thank you for that, then just, we're sharing everything with you. We're putting it all out there for you. So click on the link below.
You know what though?
Yeah.
Don't take our word for it. Forget about everything we just said. All you have to do is go down and watch all the testimonials of the people that have already taken the course, and then make your own decision from there.
Yeah.
All you have to do is watch the testimonials, click the link, and away you go. Much love to each and every one of you, and many blessings.
We'll see you next time. Thank you.